Blog Talk Radio.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Welcome, everybody. This is Jackie Wayans, your host. Glad to be with you another week. And because you're here, because you're listening, that means you did not give up. You continue to pursue. And it is my goal to not only encourage you to pursue, but to win. That is my motto for this year. Don't give up and win. We want to achieve and go beyond our wildest imagination. And that's what God wants us. He wants to blow our mind if we would just give him the opportunity to do so. So I said to you that this month, the month of January, we were going to focus on finances. So as everyone makes their New Year's resolutions for a better body or a better job or a better health condition, we want to include finances in there. We want to look at what we're doing with our money, because money is not only a fact of life, but it also is a way to have a better life. And when I say that, we will hear so much of how money can improve the quality of life, even in this show, if you have it, how you can better the lives of your family, of community. It's not just about so that you can have the latest bling or drive around in the fanciest car. Money has great value, and so we want to look at it from the proper mindset. And mindset is extremely key, because sometimes you're making oodles of money, but you don't know what to do with it. And so we want to get our mindset correct so that someone come on and start to talk to you about actual implementation, you would have already gotten the mindset piece together. And I'm so thankful that tonight we have Sherman Brown with us. He's not only speaker, he's also professor, entrepreneur, and he has mastered multiple streams of income. And many of us have that day job, and we have that dream or that passion on the side or that hobby, and we don't really know what to do or how to make it work. So this show is going to be extremely helpful for you as you hear his story. You hear how God brought him from one place to another place to where he is now, and you can actually hear that all things are possible. If God did it for him, he can do it for you, because he's no respecter of person. So, Sherman, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Jackie, and to all your audiences. Don't give up. It's truly a pleasure to be here this evening.
Yes, indeed. We had talked about doing this for sometime, and the timing was now. This is when it was supposed to happen. So I'm very excited about being able to have you on. And I'm also excited because sometimes I'm not naturally a person who gravitates to math or money or finances. It is work for me. It is a challenge for me. And so I need that shift and change in mindset. And I've attempted to have some guests on in the past, and I just felt like I was falling asleep, like snoozeville. The off button was just on. But you are not that person at all. You're extremely exciting to listen to. There's a great passion behind what you do, and I can see why you do it. So before we get into the mindset piece of this and the multiple streams of income, I want to find out a little bit about who you are. So I know you stem from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Tell me a little bit about what island, what was your life like growing up, what was your vision for your future at that time?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yes, you're right. I grew up in the U.S. Virgin Islands on the island of St. John, a very small but a lovely island, and I would encourage all you and all of your listeners to take a trip down there at some point in time. But when I grew up in the U.S. Virgin Islands, I really had one goal in mind. As a young man, it's island music. I was really so much into dancehall reggae. As a matter of fact, that's what I thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to be the greatest dancehall reggae artist ever. And in my years down there, I performed in a lot of talent shows and different shows. Starfest is a show that's one of the biggest shows in the Virgin Islands, where they use this show to recognize all of the talent of the Virgin Islands. And I had the great pleasure of performing there. And, you know, when after I finished that show, I remember, you know, I was getting ready to leave the Virgin Islands, graduated high school, moved to New York City, and I had that goal in mind that I was going to be the best of the best, the greatest. And I moved to New York City. You know, I knew this is where the bright lights were in my mind. I thought that the streets were paved with gold, the money would come off of the trees. And when I got up there, it was really a completely different situation. You know,
well,
so
pause for
when
a second, because I know that there's so many people from the islands who believe that about America. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm familiar with St. John's because my mom is from an even smaller island called Tortola, British Virgin Islands.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure you've heard of it, right? Yeah, so my mom's from Tortola, and I'm very, very, I understand what you must have been like as a young man with this dance hall passion, because I had Dunamis on the show, Neil Hall.
Yes.
And, yeah, and I have had Skirt Boy on the show, who was like the front man for Major Lazer for a while there before he got saved and left. And so I'm familiar with, you know, the whole dance hall addiction almost. It's like the guys who are doing that, they're passionate about that, and they're really into it. So I can see this as being your one focus. And, oh, yeah, now tell me about coming to New York City and the reality, as the reality sets in that the streets are not paved with gold and you don't just walk into the music industry like that. So tell us a little bit about what it was like when you first got here.
Absolutely. I mean, I really had that in my mind that that's how it was going to be. And when I got here, it was crazy because I actually faced the complete opposite of that. You know, I was living in an area of the Bronx. I came up here and I was residing with my grandmother, and I didn't know at the time, but the area of the Bronx that I was living in was then and still is today the poorest congressional district in the United States. And I'm talking about the absolute poorest, not just in New York, but in the entire United States. So living in that area of the Bronx, there were some things that I saw and some things that I just wasn't used to. Well, first of all, what I saw was I was living in the poorest congressional district, but yet everyone looked like they had money. It's right next to Fordham Road, so everyone was up there shopping, buying stuff like crazy. And I said to myself, wow, I guess the biggest problem that we face here is that people buy what they want and then they beg for what they need. And that was the situation, and, you know, and that's what I actually came into. So poorest congressional district in the United States. I was living with my grandmother, conditions that I wasn't used to. You know, I would be in the middle of the winter, a night like this, cold as ever, no heat, no hot water, and I just wasn't used to that. You know, my grandmother, and as you know, Caribbean parents, very strict on being clean, you know, being clean. We kept our house clean, but when you live in a neighborhood where people don't have the same values, you find yourself going to the kitchen at night, and roaches and rats are coming out to eat with you. You know, so that was my situation, and at that point in time, Jackie, I said, look, something needed to change. I got to do something different. And you know what Caribbean parents tell you to do? Go to school, get an education, make sure educate
That's
yourself.
Right.
And I decided to do that. I said, well, you know what? Let me go to school, hopefully get some good grades, and hopefully right when I'm finished, I'm going to get a job. And I did that.
So your dance hall dreams went out the window real quick.
Oh,
right?
It was out the window. No more dance hall. I need to pay the bills in the hallway, you know what I mean? So it was no more dance hall. It was bills hall. So since I had to take care of the bills, you know, things had to change. So I said, you know what? Let me go ahead. I'm not making money doing the music. Let me go out there and start to, you know, seek a different way. And I started to go to school. I was doing okay in classes, graduated, you know, college, and which was good. And as soon as I left there, you know, I got my first job working in city government, you know, and I was making $20,000 a year as a community liaison for an elected official. Now, if you live in New York City, you know, $20,000 a year is not moving the needle anywhere, especially when you have family and everyone that you're trying to take care of, and people from the islands calling you every week because they need money too, and they think you're rich now because you're in New York, you know. So, you know, it really wasn't doing anything for me. And I needed to make more money. So I understood, like, if I want to make more money, I'm just have to work harder. And I worked hard, and I put out countless hours working for this council member. And I did everything I could, you know, to please her. And, you know, God blessed me, you know, and after 2 years of hard work, I went from making $20,000 a year, and I was making $106,000 a year. And at that point in time, Jackie, you could imagine, I said to myself, man, I made it. I got it now. I'm making all this money. You know, I'm doing well now. Everything is good. But here was the problem, Jackie. I was making way more money, but I was still broke, just at a higher income bracket. Just to explain how something like that happens, I want you to think about this. You're making more money, and guess what happens the minute you start making money? You start spending money. And for me, because my mindset didn't develop to the amount of money I was making, I was still living with the same mindset, making more money. So what I do, I bought cars. I had two cars, Jackie. I had an Infiniti M35 and an Acura Fiel. One I drove during the week, the other one on the weekends. And it felt good because when I came through the block, everyone said, oh, Sherman, you know, but no one paid the loans, right? So no one paid the loans. I still had to pay those, you know. And going through that at that time, I was saying to myself, here it is, I'm making all this money, but I'm still broke. And I'm saying to myself, am I going to do? Like, why am I still in this trap? You know, and
Wait a minute. You're making $106,000. You buy two cars, one for the week, one for the weekend. How old were you?
Yeah. At that time, I was 22 years old.
22 years old. Are you still living with your grandmother?
But at the time, I was living with my grandmother still. So here it is. We're in the poorest congressional district in the United States. I'm young and making a whole lot of money, and now I'm able to help out my grandmother a little more, but I'm spending money on the wrong things. I'm buying clothes.
Wow.
I'm buying cars. I'm going out with girls. I'm just spending.
Mm-hmm.
And every time at the end of the month, I find myself still broke. And it's crazy because the money just went like nothing. And, you know, when you're making a lot of money, everyone starts to come around. So I had a whole lot of friends at that time, you know, and when the money was flowing, they were there. And then when the money stopped, they weren't there any longer, you know. So you learn about yourself and you learn about the people around you when you're not making that money.
Definitely a very familiar story, even going back to Bible times about, you know, how the friends are there when the money is flowing, you know. And I'm in New York City, for those of you who are listening, and we're talking about the Bronx, which I still live in, and Sherman is very correct, that area that he's referring to is Quadrant in America. And what's amazing to me about the Fordham Road area is the amount of shopping. I mean, it's the stores are never empty. They're never going out of business. I mean, it is the place to go to get whatever you want, bargain basement, undercover, you know, the latest sneaker, whatever. And it's amazing to me that right in the heart of the poorest area, there is this issue of all the spending happening, and you wonder where is the money coming from. And I think you hit on it right on the head, is that we spend our money on what we want and we leave what we need for later. But you had a wake-up call. You had something that happened to you that said, you know what, I need to change this. And why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2009, after making all of this money, the elected official who I was working for was not reelected. And when she wasn't reelected, it means that I was out of a job as well. So, you know, I was making $100,000, but that went down to zero real quick. And it was tragic because at that point in time, I'm saying to myself, well, what am I going to do? You know, the one thing that I did smart is I bought a condo, you know, a little outside of the community, still in the Bronx, but up in the northeast section in the Bronx at that point in time. And when I actually lost that job, I was in panic because I still had the cars. You know, I had the condo, and I had all these things that I said to myself I have to take care of, but I wasn't making any more money. And the first thing I was saying to myself is, you know what, I got to go work for somebody else or do something else. But that tragedy was also a blessing, Jackie, and here's the reason why. At the time when you get to your lowest points, you start to become more creative. You start to see life in a different perspective. You see things from a different view. And sometimes it takes a tragedy like losing all the money that you were making to recognize that you have to make some different decisions. So the decision that I made at that point in time, I said, never again in my life will I depend on one stream of income. Because here it was, I put out my heart, my passion, my soul, everything into helping this elected official do as well and look as good as she could look. And when she was gone, I was gone. And I find that happening with so many people today. They're a pink slip away from chronic poverty. They're a medical emergency away from being completely bankrupt because they're depending on one stream of income. And they think that that's going to be there for them forever. And that's not the case.
Right.
So for me, at that point in time, I said multiple streams of income. I have to do multiple things. And I also kept in mind that, look, if I want to become to a point where I'm wealthy and I'm a good steward of the money that I'm making and everything, I cannot just depend on being an employee. I needed to become an entrepreneur. Because the people who are the wealthiest in this country own things. They have ownership. You know, and at that point in time, I said, I need to become an entrepreneur. So,
well, when we come back, we're going to talk some more with you about just that, how people can start to develop a multiple streams of income mindset. Hear a bit about what you have done and how they can do it too.
They all do. It's one thing I know, I fall but I grow. I'm walking down this road of mine, this road that I go home. So am I wrong? Woo! Thinking that we could be something for real. Now am I wrong for trying to reach the things that I can't see? That's just how I feel. That's just
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we're back. We've been talking with Sherman Brown, who is professor, speaker, and entrepreneur. And one of his specialties is really helping people to understand the mindset they need to have regarding finances and multiple streams of income. And so he didn't just get here through textbooks or through a degree, but really had an experience that helped him to realize why that's important. And right before the break, you shared one of those experiences with us, and that is the fact that you could have a very well-paying job and it could be gone tomorrow. But there's also something that happened in regards to your grandmother that was the fincher that said, you know what, this needs to rapidly change, and I need to really move the ball and how I reach out to people and get them this information. Can you share that?
Yes, absolutely. So, as I said, when I moved up here, remember I said I was living with my grandmother, and in 2011, something tragic just happened. You know, it was October 25th, 2011, and I found myself at Mount Sinai Hospital. My grandmother had cirrhosis of the liver, so she was lying down there in the hospital. And let me just tell you a little bit of my grandmother. My grandmother worked for over 35 years as a home health aide. She was doing everything in her power to make an honest living. You know, we work hard to make an honest living, but here was the problem, Jackie. She wasn't honestly living. She was just getting up day by day like a zombie, getting by, working, and she did everything to provide for her loved ones, to provide for her family. But on October 25th, 2011, my grandmother with cirrhosis of the liver was lying down in Mount Sinai Hospital. And all my grandmother kept saying while we were there in the hospital with her is what she could have done, should have done, and would have done if she had more time. And I mean, I'm telling you, there was such an important lesson that I learned from a dying woman on that day, is that most people don't try to live until they're about to die. And that's exactly what was happening with my grandmother. Jackie, she was thinking about all the things she could have done. You know the one thing she never said? She never said, man, I wish I had worked more hours on my job. She never said that.
Right.
She never said, well, I wish I had more money, you know, because you could make more money. You could find other ways to make money. You know, you could buy a bigger car, a bigger house, a bigger yacht, but you can't get back time. And sometimes we spend so much time, just like my grandmother, working for everyone else, doing, making everybody else's dream a reality, that we neglect that which is most important, family, loved ones, and the people that we care about. So when my grandmother passed away, you know, I said, I don't want to see anyone go through that again. And then I saw my mother going through the same thing, because my mother was living in the Virgin Islands, working overnight from 11 in the night to 7 in the morning. Then immediately after that, she worked from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Now, for her to be way beyond me in terms of age, but to be working so hard, I told my mother, I said, Ma, you're going to end up just like Grandma, because you're killing out yourself to make a living, but you're not honestly living. And at that point in time, I said, look, I can't allow my family to go through it, and I can't allow other people to go through this. I got to share this message, because people have to understand that you have this one life to live. And before you know it, that time is going to be up. You want to spend most of your time in your life with the people who will cry the most after your funeral. Not the people who just come and read the obituary and have the party and then that's it. The people who will cry the most after your funeral. And the only way you could do that is if you generate enough income and multiple streams of income in which you could get back some of your time for yourself. So that was really that tragedy at the time with the passing of my grandmother. Seeing how hard my mother was working at the time, that made me say, you know what? Multiple streams of income is the way to go, because if you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, the fact is you will work until you die. And that's what most people do.
Yeah, no, so you started to go across the country sharing this message. What are some of the key points that you try to get people to understand, even understanding what is multiple streams of income, why is it important? What are some of the things you bring to the forefront?
Yeah, well, what I tell folks, right, is I tell everyone, every one of us has a gift. You know, God provided us with talents, abilities, gifts, and skills. And all of these things can help us to rise to another level, but it depends on how we use them. Because the fact is, you can either rise on your own wings or you could be held back by your own weight. And your own weight sometimes might be procrastination. It might be that you're trying to think so much about being a perfectionist that you never use your passion to allow it to make you to make money. And so what I do is I talk to people. I say, look at the gifts that you have, the talents, the abilities that you have. Are you maximizing the use of those abilities, and are you solving enough issues out there where you could generate income from your passion? Because the fact is, your passion could always make you money, but money could never make your passion. So what I do is I share with people, look, there's various avenues in which you could use your talent that you already have to generate funding. If you're a writer, you could write blogs. If you're someone who, you know, who loves sports or whatever the case may be, there's various ways in which you can make money and multiple streams of income that you can make money off of things that you already do. But here's the thing, you have to keep an open mind. Because usually the biggest problem that we have is people, the human mind is often like cement. It's thoroughly mixed with your experiences and then becomes permanently set. But the only way you grow is if you break through the concrete of your mind. So there might be some unconventional things that you have to get involved in because you could make another stream of income. But here's the thing that I know about people with closed minds. Closed minds usually close doors to big opportunities. And every one of us has an opportunity to make money with the gifts that we have. The thing that we have to do, though, is search for where are those areas where people need those things that we do.
Let's take it back a little bit. With yourself, you know, I said you're a speaker, you're a professor, you're an entrepreneur. So when you started with multiple streams of income, I know you have like four or five at least. Share with us what are some of the areas that you decided, you know, based on your skill sets and your talents, where did you look to for your multiple streams of income?
Well, starting with my first stream of income, I said, hey, you know what? I have this ability to speak. I have this ability to share my experiences and everything. And what I started to do is I started to do public speaking. You know, I started to recognize that there were individuals like Les Brown and Anthony Robbins and all of these individuals who were making so much money doing speaking engagements. And I said, hey, why don't I open up a company where I go out there and I do speaking engagements to make another stream of income? And while I was doing that, I was also a professor at the same time. You see, my gift is in speaking. So I had to look for avenues where they need somebody who speaks. And I said, where else better than being a professor? You see, I had lost my job at the time, But I could have found something that allowed me to speak on a regular basis. So I became a professor, and then I opened up a business where I was going out there doing this public speaking and getting paid for public speaking. But I also studied business. So there were certain skills and abilities that I had in business that I knew that I could market products. So I ended up becoming a broker for a number of Fortune 500 companies where I would offer their products to various audiences, and I started getting paid off of essential services that people use every day. So that became another stream of income. While I was doing that, the condo that I had, I said to myself, well, look, the condo is great and me living there is great, but why can't I turn this condo into another stream of income? So I went and I left the condo that I owned to go rent from someone else where I was paying a lower rate in the rent. And then I rented out my condo, which, of course, the mortgage was being covered. But then in addition to that, I started generating another stream of income off of that. So now I have a rental property right now that I make money from. So all of these things, these are the things that we have that we could use, that we could use to make multiple streams. And sometimes we don't recognize it. So, Jackie, here's the biggest thing. I always tell people, they always think I need to have more money. I need to have more resources. I need to have more talent. And here's the fact. Your success is not going to be dependent on how many resources you have. It's going to be dependent on how resourceful you are. How are you maximizing the use of what you do have, as opposed to complaining about what you don't have? So I give you a perfect example, Jackie. The $1.9 billion for the Powerball was out. And everyone started talking about, if I made this money, I would do this, that, and the other. Right. And you know what I told people every time they came to me with that? I said, you should be quiet. And here's the reason why. You're not maximizing the use of the $40,000 or the $20,000 that you're making. What makes you think you're going to maximize the use of this $1.9 billion? You're not going to even know how to handle it. You're not going to know how to flip it and use that to make multiple streams again. So those were the avenues that I chose. But the only way I knew about those avenues is I started to ask questions. I started to seek other opportunities. I looked at people who were successful, and I said, let me learn what they're doing. Because there's no secret to success, there's only systems. And some people have followed the right system for success, while others have followed the system for failure.
And, you know, I find it very interesting that here it is, you know, you had a degree, and then, you know, your actual job and the areas that you find multiple streams of income in are not necessarily related to the degree. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that, like my degree is in this, so therefore I have to be that. But we are more than that. We're made up of many gifts and talents and abilities. So now whether you still keep your day job and your degree and you have these other outlets, or you just become an entrepreneur and still have multiple outlets, you have to look at yourself beyond just a degree. You have to look at yourself comprehensively and look at all the gifts and talents that you have to bring to the table. Now, it's funny that I say that because one of the reasons I'm spending January doing the finances, because that is one of my weakest areas. I have two, and that is one. And here I am. I have two radio shows, this and Songs for the Midnight Hour, two books, Ambrose, I just released Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity. I have a CD that I produce in multiple social media platforms. And guess what? I'm monetizing nothing, right? I mean, the book that was just released is probably my first real monetization product that is going to be a blessing to people, but you have to pay to get the book. So what do you do when you meet someone who has clearly found their passion, they have a fire about something, but they're not monetizing? How do you begin to work with them and expose them, build them up to this concept mindset of multiple streams of income?
Yeah, that's a perfect question, Jackie. And I mean, and I know so many people who have that issue, as you stated, right? Because the first thing I do is I sit with that individual and I said to them, I ask them the question. I say, do you believe that what you're doing adds value? Because you see, the key here, right, is to have something that adds value. Impact gives you influence. Influence brings you income. So if you believe in what you're doing, if you truly believe in it, then I ask you, what steps have you taken to research where there's a problem that you could solve with the gift that you have? Because everyone is willing to pay for a solution. Companies, organizations, schools, I mean, all over, you think about it, people are willing to pay for a solution. So if you really believe that what you have and what you do is of value, the next thing we need to do is start to research where are the people or the organizations that need that thing that you currently do, because there's plenty out there. right? And here's the thing. Most of us don't like to research or try to run towards it. Why? Because we're afraid of hearing no. We're afraid of getting shut down. So we will stay in our box and do what we're doing, and we're not going to reach out to anyone. We're not going to reach out to any organization. So I say, look, first of all, make a list of all the different organizations and the groups that could benefit and from the value that you add. And once you have that, before you even reach out to them, here's the next thing I say to do. Your dream needs a team. It needs a team of individuals. And sometimes those individuals are people who've already done it already. Every one of us, no matter what goal, no matter what it is we want to accomplish, there's somebody who's already done it. Your role has to be to reach out to that individual or to the organizations that deal with people in that industry. So if I give you an example for myself, I wanted to become a speaker. And I went ahead and made all the mistakes of going out there and just trying to speak on my own. But then I found there's a National Speakers Association where they actually teach you the business of the speaking business. So what did I do? I said, let me immediately go and get myself connected there. And through that connection there, you know who I met? People like Les Brown. I met people from these different industries. Guess what? They were already doing it. So all the mistakes that they made, I didn't have to make the same mistakes. And I started to listen to them, listen to what they did, and I started to follow their system. Because the fact of the matter is, everything that you want to do, everything that you have a talent and the ability and a gift to do, it could solve some problem. You first have to find out who needs a problem solved, and then find out other people who have helped to solve those type of problems, and then you have to activate yourself to start making the outreach, doing what is necessary to get your name out there. If I could tell anyone what is one class I would tell anyone to take if they could take a class in marketing. Because you see the people who we see out there doing it, I'm sure and I guarantee you, listen, I'm listening to how you run your show right now, Jackie. There's not enough people do it with the level of class and the level of distinction that you do it. You see, the only thing is you're not as well known as many of those other people. So if we learn how to market you and market you to the right audiences so you could get the right exposure, all of a sudden your whole thing starts to grow. So I look at Michael Jordan and I say, guess what? Everyone says he's the best of all time, the greatest of all time, the greatest basketball player. But there was somebody else who was greater than him who was never discovered. Why? Because they weren't marketed right. So you need to market yourself, have the right team. In addition to that, find where people need the solution that you could provide, and then activate yourself and activate your legacy by going out there and doing the outreach. Keep in mind of this. Keep this in mind, Jackie. You have nothing to lose. In this world, we have a whole lot to gain. The only thing we have to lose is time. Why? Because the clock is always ticking. And the longer we take to go out there and accomplish our dreams, the less time we're going to have to enjoy it. So we got to activate ourselves, get ourselves out there, and market yourself. And sometimes you're going to look crazy. But the crazy ones are always the one who make things happen. And God didn't call us to be a timid people, to be a fearful people. We should be fearless and be ready to go out there and do what we need to do. Because it doesn't matter how much information we have. Information without application is only fascination. And most people fantasize about where they want to go. They fantasize about what they want to do. They fantasize about what they want to accomplish. And what they don't understand is that information with
application. You know, you're absolutely right. I have this passion and fire to do this work, so much so that I left my day job at the end of last year to commit to doing that. I secured a business coach, and I want people who are listening who understand the first red flag that goes up your mind is, I can't afford to do that. And one of the things Sherman has already said is that we spend money on our wants and our needs continue to chase us down. And I got to be very honest to say that when I secured my business coach, 2015 was one of the most difficult financial years for me. And I secured her really not even knowing how I was going to pay that fee from month to month, but I knew that I would never be able to pay a fee from month to month if I didn't start with her, because she had wisdom and understanding that I didn't have, and she also had something that you just brought up when you mentioned the National Speakers Association, is that she had a network. She has a network of other women like myself that are like-minded, that are reaching the same goals, and we can support each other, learn from each other. And so that investment into my dream was one of the best things I could possibly have ever done for myself. Painful? Absolutely. But you have to put yourself in that pain. Speak to a minute about the issue of pride and how pride kind of gets in our way.
Yeah, pride is a killer. I mean, and I'm telling you, it's a killer. And the reason why pride gets in our way is because of our ego. We don't like to hear no. We don't like to get turned down. We love everything to look nice and smooth and like everything is going well. But here's the thing that I tell people, especially when it comes to pride. If your ego is bigger than your bank account, you have a problem. If your ego is bigger than your bank account, you have a problem. And if you were to put pride on the side and be willing to ask, be willing to seek assistance, there's people who've already done it. They're just waiting for you to ask. They want to mentor you. But here's the problem. Most of us don't want to ask because we don't want to look bad. Let me tell you something. When you're broke, you look bad. You look bad when you're broke. So if you're already broke, you have no place to go but up. So you got to start seeing yourself at the bottom. Like, hey, you know what? I'm already at the bottom. I have no place to go but up. Let me put pride on the side and get into the drive of going out there and doing what I need to do and talking to the people that I need to talk to. Again, your ego does not pay bills. It doesn't. And it doesn't allow anyone to live their dream. So here's the thing. At the crime scene of every dead dream, the easiest thing to find is an excuse. It's the easiest evidence to find. You will always find an excuse. Well, I didn't go because I don't think those people would accept me and this and that and all that. Let me tell you something. Jackie, if you let pride continue to get into your way, that is something that will break you down. It will tear you apart. And I'm being honest with you. That was my biggest issue. It was my biggest issue. I had too much pride. I didn't want to ask anyone for anything. You know, I grew up in a family where you figure it out on your own, and I was trying to figure it out on my own. And guess what? When I noticed I was losing money, when I noticed I was broke, when I noticed I was stuck in the same place, I said, look, I need to lose my pride. I need to go out and go find people. And guess what? When you have all that pride, sometimes you're still in the same circle with your pride. And the people in your circle are okay with you having that pride. You know why? Because when we're broke and broke, we're all good. And the minute you try to step out of that, here's what people are going to do. People are going to start to criticize. They're going to try to talk. They're going to tell you, oh, I don't think you should do that. And guess what? Sometimes our pride, because we don't want people to talk bad about us, makes us go back. But here's the fact, Jackie. You hang around four broke people, you're the fifth one. When you start hanging around wealthy people, you become the fifth one as well. You understand? So it's who's in your circle. And sometimes it's because we're so afraid to step out or so afraid to be ridiculed that we don't want to take any steps. So we rather not try at all so that we don't feel like we failed. But you failed if you didn't try. You failed horribly if you didn't try. So pride is something that we have to get out of the way. I was speaking at an event the other day, you know, and the theme of the event, you know, it was a Christian event. They said ego, right, is edging God out. And you can't have so much pride that you're edging God out of your life. You know, every time, you know, and that's what's happening. People have so much pride that they're dying with their dreams locked up inside them because they're not willing to ask. They're not willing to reach out. They're not willing to come out of their comfort zone. And comfort is a beautiful place. But here's the fact. Nothing grows in comfort.
Wow, you've got so many powerful. I mean, I can just pluck them all off of a tree and just meditate on each one. I have to go back to one you just said, though. You said at the crime scene of every dead dream is excuses?
The easiest evidence to find is an excuse, because excuses are easy to come by. Everyone has an excuse why I didn't do it, why I didn't reach out, why I didn't make that phone call, why I wasn't willing to ask when the opportunity was there. And let me tell you something. You go to the bank, you can't deposit excuses. And you can't achieve excuses without you can't achieve excellence with excuses. So we got to stop making excuses and all of that, because the one thing I can tell you, Jackie, the one thing that I love about New York and coming to this country overall, opportunity was in abundance. But you know what they tell you, Jackie? It's like a restaurant. It's buffet style. And you could go out there and get as much as you want. And many people just eat a little bit week by week, and some people eat a whole lot. But what bothers me the most is I find so many people in this country where it's an abundance of opportunity, and they're struggling because they're in a restaurant that's buffet style, but they're still waiting to be served. No one is there to serve you. You got to go out there and get it. You got to go out there and speak. You got to go out there and reach out and let people know that I have a gift that the world needs to see, and I'm ready to have the impact. And the impact will give you the influence, and that influence will bring the income, and it will come, but you got to believe it. You got to know it. God has given you that gift so you could go out there and do what you need to do to impact lives. But you got to stop sleeping on your gifts. Stop sleeping on the excuses. Stop sleeping on your pride. And go out there and do what you need to do. You know why? Because the world is dependent on you. The world is dependent. More people need to hear Jackie out there. You understand? Because the type of messages that you're putting on this radio station is having a tremendous, epic impact that more of the world needs to hear.
And that's why we can't let pride hold us up, because pride will stop the gift of God from going out there. And you're blocking it. And we got to let it go. Let go of the pride and move forward towards our destiny.
Wow, it's so much here. It's a, you know, I left my day job. Some people don't need to do that. You can stay at your day job and use that money to fund your, you know, other streams and have other things growing for you on the side. So we're not suggesting that. I hope you're hearing the heart of this. It's so much here. That last thing you said was so powerful, and I can hear a voice somewhere thinking to themselves, I don't know, is that Bible? Is that God? Are we supposed to think that way about money and our achievement? So what would you have to say to that?
Yeah, here's the thing, right? I believe, Jackie, that money only makes you more of who you are. And people love to say, you know, the money is the root of all evil. Look, the love of money and how if you start to care more about the money than you care about the Creator, that's when it becomes a problem. But here's the thing. I remember one time I went to church and I was talking to a sister in the church about this same issue about, look, finding multiple streams. And every week she complains about the same thing. And when I start talking to her about multiple streams, what she said to me is this: well, you know, I hear what you're saying, Brother Sherman, but, you know, the one thing I know is going to be hard for a rich man to make it to heaven. And in direct response to her, I said, look, it's going to be hard for a broke person to make it on earth, right? If you make more money, it's not a problem. You got to understand that the money that you're making could do so much good. Think about it this way. If you find multiple streams of income, maybe you could give more tithes now. Maybe that expansion to the church that you're trying to do, you have a quicker way of doing that so that you could save more lives. You have to look at it in that way. You see, most of us, right, the reason why people want to talk bad about money is because they don't believe they could make it. And you know what? They justify where they're at. They want to justify that, you know what, I don't have it. I'm not living any life. I'm not really accomplishing what I want to accomplish. And they want to justify it. So guess what? They say things like money is bad. Well, if money is so bad, don't pay your bills next month. Don't go out there and make money. And see what it takes not to make money and see how you live when you don't make money. Money only makes you more of who you are. So if you're a moron, money will make you more of a moron. But if you're a good-hearted person and you have the right heart and you're righteous, making more money will only allow you to do more good. And that's how I see this. Because even when I started my company, Aim High International, yes, it's profit-based. Yes, I have the company out there so I can make profit. But here's what I know. With the money that I make and my profit, I put it towards social causes. And that's how I started the Aim High Empowerment Institute for these young men from inner city streets who are struggling, who are going through tough times in their life. But yet they get to sit down with somebody like me and the coaches that I put together to impact their lives.
But I want you to hold off on that. We're going to come back and I'm going to have you tell us all about that, because I'm very interested to hear about Aim High and what you're doing with these young lives.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Well, I hope you guys are really have your ears perked up and you are just got your heart beating fast, because mine is. And I want to hear more about this, because it's wonderful for someone to just tell you in theory. But what's great about our guest tonight, Sherman Brown, is that he is actually living it. And he's living it out. This is experiential. We're getting the real deal here. And so you not only have multiple streams of income, but you are using your income for social change, to impact our community, to educate and to improve. So tell us about Aim High, what it does, who it serves. I know it has many prongs to it. So take a moment and take each one and just tell us. So start with the young men and the work that you're doing with them.
All right. So, yeah, so I founded an organization called the AI Empowerment Institute. And what this is really a success and retention initiative to help young men improve their academic, personal, professional, and social outcomes. And the way that we do that is we go through a process of engaging, educating, and empowering these young men to develop what we call the three C's: competence, confidence, and character. So what I did is I started this Aim High Insights video series back in 2012, where I was just putting up these weekly videos encouraging people to, you know, to get a better life and to do more. And this was after my grandmother passed away is when I decided to start that series. But while I was doing it, I said, these messages are great, but I need something that's going to be more impactful, that could impact the lives of individuals. And I just happened to come across this book called The New Jim Crow that was written by Michelle Alexander. She said something that was so interesting in there, and it was heartbreaking. She said, when we look at our young men of color, there are more young men of color on probation, parole, or in prison today than there were slaves in 1850. And let me tell you something, Jackie, when I saw that statistic, it hit my heart so hard. And at that point in time, I said, I got to do something that is geared towards young men from these inner city neighborhoods where they're struggling, where they're going through pain, where there's high crime. And I started the Aim High Empowerment Institute. And what we started doing is taking these young men off of the streets, and we started establishing the institute on various campuses throughout New York City. And we take these young men and we work with them on a week-by-week basis, where they're getting training, they're getting development, they're getting exposure, they're getting connected to different networks of individuals. And here's the message to all of them. Many of them come from bad neighborhoods where they see drug, they see crime, they see all of these problems. But I made a decision that we will not allow their geography to write their biography. So within the Aim High Empowerment Institute, we're helping these young men to write a new story for their life so that they could change their life. And right now, we have about 100 young men who are in the program. We just got asked to come into Brooklyn, where we have a number of churches that are asking us to expand in those areas as well. So all of this was started from an idea. But guess what? I loved the idea, but I couldn't execute it because I didn't have the funding to get it started. So what I did is I used some of the money from my side businesses, right, because within Aim High International, we have three parts. The Aim High Empowerment Institute is one part, but I also have the Aim High Empowerment Experience, and those are conferences that we charge people for the conferences where we're doing training and development, and I also go to schools where I train educators. So all of these other streams of income, along with the money that I make with the businesses that I work with outside, I use that money to fund the Aim High Empowerment Institute. And now the institute is up and running. We have young men joining every day, and it's a new movement that's really just expanding throughout New York City, again, helping these young men to develop competence, confidence, and character.
I just want to thank you for doing that work with our young men. I know you're familiar with Eagle Academy for young men. My son graduated from there, and I've had David Banks on the show, and just the passion that hit his heart to do what he could do to reach out for our young men in the city. And there are people who will say, well, you know, men are men, people are people, and that is absolutely true. But there are some challenges that face these young men just simply because of their geographic location, right? And we know that there are 5 to 7 zip codes in this city that fuel the jails for the whole state, right? And there's some statistics that says it fuels for the whole country. And so there's clearly a targeting that's going on, and so there must be a targeting on the other side that says, no, this is not going to happen. We're going to do whatever we can do to educate and elevate our young men so that they don't become somebody's statistic. They don't become someone's dollar bill, because there are people who are benefiting financially off of our kids going to jail. So thank you so much for taking up that mantle. And I also want to say that your conferences and workshops are also extremely reasonable. I mean, there's some things that hit me on Facebook and I click to check in and they want, you know, thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of dollars. I'm like, well, who can afford that? But, you know, you're extremely reasonable. You have a conference coming up. Tell us about that and how we can register for it.
Absolutely. So on April 9th, we have the Aim High Empowerment Experience Presents Resurrect Your Dreams. This is an empowerment conference where we're bringing some of the best minds in the areas of finance, fitness, entrepreneurship. We're bringing these individuals together to share with you time-tested principles and strategies so that you could resurrect those dead dreams and give them the life that it deserves. So this is going to happen at Queens College on April 9th. And if people wanted to register for the conference, you would put in dreams2016.aimhighei.org. Again, that's dreams2016.aimhighei.org. It's very affordable. The early bird registration is open right now until January 31st, where you could get into this conference for $37. $37. Mm. There's plenty of people out there holding conferences where you got to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars. $37. Mm-hmm. And you could get into this conference and get time-tested principles from individuals who have done it. I'm talking about people like the financial legacy lady, Ms. Keishan Rowe, the education activist, Mr. Cecil Wright, Dr. Cecil Wright. You have people like Tanya Dean, the two-time Golden Glove boxing champion, NY Daily News. I mean, these are individuals from different walks of life who have actually made it happen in their life. And they're going to be sharing these principles, very affordable. So I would encourage people to get at that conference. I guarantee you this is going to be game-changing, life-transforming. And when you get there and people get to that conference, every dream that you have, and we have it very intimate. We don't have it where it's a huge conference holding thousands of people where you can't connect with people. We keep it very small and intimate so that way you could get the time that you deserve so that you could resurrect your dreams. And you could ask every question you need to ask. It's very affordable. And the reason we do this, and some of the funding that we get from this conference goes straight, partial proceeds go straight to helping us expand the Aim High Empowerment Institute for the young men. I mean, it's beautiful. That's why we are a social enterprise. We make profit, yes, but our profits go into funding a social cause. And that's what's so great about it.
Thank you so much for sharing with us this evening. For those of you who are listening to Blog Talk Radio, I have the link available right here. You can just click and go right to it. And we're going to work out a way where it can be available on my social media platforms as well. I'll speak to you, Sherman, and see what we can do to get that going on different platforms. And I really just thank you for being here and for sharing. Resurrect your dreams. How many dreams are going to die with you? You know, Les Brown, you mentioned him a number of times, and there's a motivational video where he says, imagine yourself on your deathbed and standing around you are not your family and your friends, but all your dreams, all your gifts, all your talents that never had a chance to rear their head, never had a chance to come alive. And they're standing around your bed pointing their finger at you, saying that because of you, because you didn't leap out, because you didn't take that step of faith, they die with you. And I found that such a profound statement. I'd rather leave here empty than to have my dreams accusing me on my deathbed and not being able to achieve that. So thank you. I'm going to register. I'm going to be there.
Absolutely.
I want you guys to continue to listen. Next week we're going to continue with that. We're going to have Dwayne Fuller, who's going to come in with some really practical ways now that you can get into multiple streams of income and start to use your money wisely. And I hear it's not as hard as you think. And remember, I'm in this with you. So thank you for listening to Don't Give Up Radio. Don't go, give up and win. Make sure you also check out my new book on Amazon. Just type in Don't Give Up and Win, and you'll see a survival guide for renewed virginity there, because we want to resurrect our dreams, but we want to make sure we are renewed and whole and complete when our dream shows up, that we're ready for it. So until next week, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all says you were worth it when he gave his life for you. Take care. God bless. Thanks, Sherman.